This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Following Hurricanes Helene and Milton in the southeast, the White House is asking Congress to approve more emergency disaster relief.
House Speaker Mike Johnson said Monday he's evaluating the request from the White House for $100 billion in disaster relief. But the Louisiana Republican expressed support for hurricane victims, pledging to deliver aid. Johnson said coming from a hurricane state, he knows how important it is to get recovery aid to those who need it. But he said there is a, quote, deliberate process that lawmakers will go through, and they'll start that in earnest. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Boeing says it's moving forward with plans to lay off some 17,000 employees, starting with 2,200 layoffs in Washington state and 50 more in Oregon. Health officials say one person has died and more than a dozen others hospitalized due to an E. coli outbreak linked to bagged organic carrots. More than a dozen brands now being pulled from store shelves across 19 states. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin's elections continue to be attacked by misinformation about the vote counting process and the security of equipment used on Election Day. With more, here's Tricia Young from Wisconsin Watch.
Milwaukee's ballot tabulation machines are not connected to the internet. For years, Milwaukee has used flash drives to transmit results. These drives are cleared, sealed, and certified by observers, including a Democrat and a Republican. On Election Day, officials briefly restarted the absentee ballot count after an observer noticed panel doors weren't fully closed. No signs of tampering were found. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Conspiracy theories about ballot counts continue to persist in the weeks following the presidential election as votes continue to be counted and canvassed. After falling for several weeks, the state's average price for a gallon of gas rose slightly last week. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices rose slightly last week with a 1.7 cent bump. The average across the state is $2.83 today. This is 14 cents lower than a month ago and over 19 cents lower than this time last year. According to officials at Gas Buddy, the slight rise is to be expected after the significant drop in prices for several weeks. Several states saw gas prices jump or cycle last week. They will likely see prices decline at the pumps this week. The national average could potentially fall below $3 per gallon just before Thanksgiving. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here in La Crosse, the average price remains $2.76 per gallon, which it has stayed close to since October 29th. Gas was last over $3 a gallon exactly 1 month ago here. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go. Download the free Civic Media app on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. From the Western Wisconsin Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers beat the Bears for the 11th time in a row, setting a new franchise record. Green Bay's Carl Brooks blocking the Bears' attempt to kick a winning field goal. Final score, Packers 20, Bears 19. Matt LaFleur.
Just like you draw it up, right? First of all, got to give Chicago a ton of credit. We knew this is a National Football League. You got to come with your best every week.
College football, the Badgers fired Phil Longo, their offensive coordinator, after losing to Oregon 16-13. Luke Fickell.
Those guys in that locker room, obviously, they fought their butts off. They did everything we asked them to do. They played the way we wanted them to play and we expected them to play. We just right now haven't found a way to be able to finish.
NBA, the Bucks host the Rockets tonight. Doc Rivers fined $25,000 for criticizing the rest after losing to the Hornets Saturday night.
Go back three plays when Giannis dunks. The whole team fouled him. The whole team fouled him. And it's a no call.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Morning highs in the mid-50s tomorrow as rain wraps up. Temps fall into the 40s in the afternoon and windy. Cloudy and blustery Thursday with flurries and snow showers. Temps only rise to 40. Right now it's 48.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, an updated version of All the Best People. Paul Trebian will be here to talk about the holiday faux fair, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part. You can be a part. You can be an integral part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. working the board. Thank you, Jess. Also, some guests for today. Our favorite socialist, Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's going to join us at 4:30. We're going to talk about being radical. I love some radical. A good radical, of course. There is a difference. We'll tell you all
healthy
about
radicals.
It.
Healthy radicals. Yeah. Isn't that all the rage right now?
Also at 5 o'clock, John Nichols, locally here at the Cap Times, nationally from The Nation magazine. He's going to jump in with us as well. We're going to get caught up with John. And folks, if you're just tuning in now to this fine production, maybe you should check it out a little earlier. Maggie Dawn and I, we do a little thing. I come in early with Maggie on Mondays. She stays a little late with me on Tuesdays. Now, on Mondays, we call In Case You Missed It, where Maggie blows my mind with some audio that makes me mad.
Oh.
Not always mad, but it's good
usually.
Stuff. Yes, we can react to it in real time. And of course, on Tuesdays, Maggie will join me 4 to 4:30 for a little overtime with Maggie Dawn. So make sure you check that out. And if you miss any of the fine shows, make sure you get you can download the Civic Media app from your favorite app store. Check it out. It's super
cool.
That
won't give them the shows that they missed, though. For that, they need to go to the podcast.
Well, if you can get the podcast through the app.
No. You can't get it on the app. You got to go online. Go online.
Civicmedia.us.
There we go.
For all the podcasts.
Also Spotify and Apple.
Really? You can't get the podcast
from
the
app? Not
yet. I'm not sure.
Not yet.
All right. Working on it. But anyway, check it out. We got a plethora of ways for you to listen and to engage. All right. So where do we start today? Locally. Let's start locally. Finally.
Yeah,
finally. The news of the day. Republican Eric Hovde. He concedes.
Hallelujah.
Really? Finally?
Took 2 weeks.
I mean, what was it now? What took you so long? We do have, and he did put out like six minutes. It was long. I think the mustache did most of the talking, but
indeed.
Eric did have some things
indeed
to say. Let's hear Eric Hovde finally acknowledging his, about 29,000 vote loss to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Let's start with cut number one.
I'm proud of the campaign we ran and that I focused on issues instead of personal attacks.
Did he?
Well, okay, I don't know in this regard. There's a lot of outside money.
Okay, that's fair.
That throws
that's
in there.
Fair.
I mean, maybe he did stay. You know, I'd have to break them all down. Look, but I did see lots and lots of ads, maybe not coming from Hovde, but certainly in support of Hovde, reminding us all that Tammy Baldwin's a lesbian.
Right.
And in case you missed it, that means she's gay. Yeah.
Uh-huh, my goodness. Uh-huh.
And that means she likes people of her own sex. I mean,
my God,
did you know
what'll
that?
Next?
Did you know that? Oh, and because they're dating Eric Hovde, or at least maybe some of the supporting groups, wanted Tammy to have her girlfriend disclose their assets because that makes sense.
I don't think that's...
No, that's not how that's it's... Not how that's it's, not, that's no. not how it works. All well, right, okay. Thank you for keeping it focused on the issues. Didn't he also, like, jump into the lake and when it was cold out and, like, challenge Tammy to the, like, ice bucket challenge? Well, what do you... That was a little weird.
Well, I mean, he says that he ran a campaign focused on the issues. I remember looking at his issues page. Do you remember looking at his issues page?
It was pretty sparse.
It was pretty sparse. Pretty sparse, especially compared to Tammy Baldwin's issue page, which was fully fleshed out, had her record on legislation, had the legislation she wants to promote, connected back to Wisconsin time and again. I mean, come on.
Oh, and he did roll out that video where he said he was running for Senate and didn't.
In what? Didn't say
what state he's running.
Oopsies.
In. That would be Wisconsin, where we are concerned about the farm bill. A couple of things maybe you should, you know, brush up on next time.
How was he supposed to know anything about the farm bill, Dom? He wasn't in the Senate.
I mean, well, maybe if you want to be, you should have some knowledge. No, we'll see what happens when he tries to run for governor next. Anyway, Eric Hovde conceding to Senator Baldwin. And then, you know, sounded all great. Focused on the issues, not personal. Well, it's questionable, at least the organizations around you, sir. But let's hear what he had to say on cut number two.
The results from election night were disappointing.
You lost.
Particularly in light of the last-minute absentee ballots
what?
That were dropped in Milwaukee at 4 a.m., flipping the outcome.
Oh, Eric.
Yeah, I hate it when those votes are counted.
There are many troubling issues around these absentee ballots and
really?
Their timing, which I addressed in my last statement.
No, there's no issue.
Didn't.
I have heard from numerous supporters urging me to challenge the election results.
Yeah, do it.
However, without a detailed review of all the ballots and their legitimacy, which will be difficult to obtain in the courts, a request for a recount would serve no purpose because you will just be recounting the same ballots regardless of their integrity.
I see.
As a result, and my desire to not add to political strife through a contentious
that's
recount,
to start that
I've
now.
Decided to concede the election.
Not to add to political strife. Listen, man, we've talked about it a lot, and we'll say it again. Those ballots that are counted, the ballot drop, that happens every time. And
yeah.
The Republicans in the state of Wisconsin had an opportunity. Hell, there was a Republican-Democratic bipartisan bill that they did not advance that would at least allow them to start counting early. This happens. And if you don't know, sir, that's how it rolls here in Milwaukee, when they finally finish all the absentee ballot counting, and in Milwaukee, it's basically 70-80% Democratic versus Republican. Statistically, you can throw out a guess and be pretty damn close. If you don't know how that works, Eric Hovde, then you are absolutely contributing to the angst of this election, sir. Now, either you are willfully ignorant, which is unacceptable, or you're doing it on purpose to rile people up, also unacceptable. So which one is it? Are you corrupt or just ignorant? I mean, it really pisses me off.
Honestly, I think this is a little column A, a little column B, Dom.
Yeah, but you got to know. You know, everybody knows. That's how it works, Eric Hovde. And while you can say, oh, it was so... Play it again. I want this is the beginning of the part again. This is so annoying.
The results from election night were disappointing.
Yeah, you lost.
Sure.
Particularly in light of the last-minute absentee ballots that were dropped in Milwaukee at 4 a.m.
Okay, stop that. Those last-minute absentee ballots that were finally counted, finished counting, and registered, not dropped, not brought off a pallet and thrown into the driveway for people to rush out and count. I mean, what are you talking about? This is how it's done, Hovde. So please, you care about the elections? Yeah, it sucks that you lost. You know, somebody loses an election every single time. This time it was you. You don't want to be part of the problem? Then don't say stupid things like that. 855-752-4842. If you have any questions, Eric, I'd be happy to edify you. Let's play the third cut from Hovde's concession. Let's hear it. Cut three.
Sadly, our current political system is broken. Instead of candidates debating issues and addressing voters' concerns, campaigns are now about raising money, often from special interest groups, and launching attack ads with no basis in truth. Equally concerning is the large segments of the press that don't care to fact-check these lies and even help propagate misinformation to protect their preferred candidates.
Is he talking about Fox News, who was like literally settled a defamation lawsuit against Dominion for $700 or $800 million, like that kind of thing? No. Or is he talking about like folks like me who said Eric Hovde wants to ban beer?
He might be talking about you.
Oh, it is me. Well, what did Eric Hovde say on
what
the whole
did he
beer?
Say about banning there, beer?
There was a thing. There was a thing. A comment, man. You know, if I was prepared, I'd have it.
You
in
do
front
have
of me.
It. It's in your show notes.
It's in my show notes. Yeah. All right. I got this one from the Wisconsin Examiner. I'm sorry, the Washington Examiner. Let's see, Hovde coming under fire. Let's see, in 2017, he criticized alcohol sales, saying booze should only be available to people who brew or distill it themselves. Oh,
that's
okay. Okay, so,
by your boots,
so if you make your own, then it's okay. So it wasn't that he wanted to ban beer. He just wanted to stop the commercialization, the sale
of
beer.
Right.
So no sailing.
Not ban beer.
No.
Just ban beer sales.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
You can do that. You can go, but good luck, Miller, Molson, Coors. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many little brews? Are you kidding me? So, okay, you didn't want to ban beer. People can have their own beer, but you can't go out and sell it. You can't go out and buy it.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't seem very capitalistic to me. The full quote in context of decriminalizing marijuana. So he says, so if we just decriminalize marijuana, fine. Nobody is going to go to jail. No one's going to get arrested for it. That's your self-determination. But you're not going to turn it into an enterprise. Frankly, it should have happened with alcohol. What? Hmm. He goes on. I mean, look at alcohol has a lot of negative byproducts. If somebody wanted to distill it, drink it, fine, go ahead. But sadly, as we know, it's produced a lot of negative byproducts as a part of society. I don't think adding more negative byproducts to society is a healthy thing. And saying that, I think the horse is out of the barn. It's going to be hard to put it back. There's so many. Let's talk about sugar.
You know, lots of negative health outcomes.
You know, I mean, fatty foods.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sodas. I mean, what are we talking about? There's lots of things that are out there. And if you're going to talk about self-determination, then how could you possibly be against anything? I think that stuff being illegal, sir. So you literally said you don't want it sold. You want it, don't want it commercialized. You want people to do it themselves. And what if people don't have the resources to do it themselves? Now you're just SOL?
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to make their own, then it's fine with all the negative byproducts. You can do it to yourself. But isn't that what you do when you buy it and drink it, according to Eric Hovde?
But then you haven't put in the work. You haven't earned it.
Oh, haven't earned it. We were celebrating my brother-in-law's 50th birthday again, still. It's been like a month now. It's been a lot of fun.
Good.
And we were talking, you know, telling kids stories about when we were younger. And he was telling a story when he brewed his own beer at the house that him and my wife used to live at when they were younger. And he put some sugar in, and then he apparently put in some like maple syrup, and didn't account for it. So then he put it in like the back closet, and everything blew up, and there was beer all over everything, and that ended his brewing career. But according to Hovde, that's the only way you get your beer, folks. So the news today, Eric Hovde finally concedes, but, you know, elections and money and all the problems. Oh, I think the biggest part he really had an issue with was losing. Now we can move on. Maybe he'll run for governor.
Oh, God.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
hold my hand?
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. And we got a lot of texters and some phone callers joining in as well. We'll get to you right now. Andrew from Maine, what does he say here? So the 266 craft breweries in Wisconsin would have to close since they would not be allowed to sell it, thus not make any money to pay for said brewery and the $2.4 billion economic impact. Who needs that, right? Well, Andrew, I don't know the math, but you're writing it. I guess I'll accept it. Yeah, man. You literally said that you, in the context of legalizing marijuana, which, of course, should be. I'm not clear what he had to say about it. I think he was kind of for it-ish.
He was kind of ambivalent about it. He was kind of like, fine. He was definitely on the side of, like, decriminalization. So, you know, all his time in California had an impact. Right.
It's smoking. It's smelling all that freedom, man. So, but it was in the context of the conversation regarding illegal recreational and, of course, commercial cannabis is when he threw out the, well, you know, it's out of the bag and we probably should never have it happen with alcohol, but basically it's too late now and here we go. Well, okay. Now, could you summarize that and say you want to ban beer? Well, ban the commercial sale of beer?
No.
I guess that's a little more clarity, so... I'll correct the record. If I ever said Hovde wanted to ban beer, I apologize. Hovde wanted to ban commercial beer. You could only have beer if it was brewed by you and only you, not mom, mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. dad, not your neighbor. No, mm-hmm. no giving of the beer. There will be no selling or the buying of the beer. But if you make your own, Hovde says it's okay.
I mean, on the one hand, the ads kind of pulled their punches. They could have said that he wanted to ban the sale of all booze.
Right. I mean, that would have been...
They only said he wanted to ban beer. Right.
Yeah, what about, you know, distilled? Yeah. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about losing your old fashions, Wisconsin?
Hey. None of that. We will not have that heresy on this show. What's happening here? 855
That's what I'm saying. They pulled their punches.
855-752-4842. Well, you know, now how do you want to go back to California? I mean, it is that time
fine.
Of year.
He'll be fine.
It's warmer there.
It's getting cold.
Well, maybe he'll jump in that lake again. He really wanted Tammy to jump in the lake. I mean, God, so strange. That was really a strange... I mean, that was just strange. It was a strange campaign.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was weird. And I got to tell you, that mustache, I guess maybe it's the mustache.
It's mostly the mustache.
I got to wash that thing.
Could you?
You know, if it's something that big, it gets all that stuff in there. Oh, okay. What else we got? 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you will be first on the lines today. Welcome, sir. Happy Monday. What do you got for us?
Happy Monday. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Hubby gives a concession, non-concession, and whining about something that could have been corrected if our Republicans in our legislature would have just said, count the votes as they come in. Then there wouldn't be this issue.
Well, you know, and that's a great point. I'll let you continue, Mark. But, you know, if he would have come out and said, you know what, the late night vote tabulation, because of the circumstance, because of the legislation, that they can't start at before 7 a.m. on election day. That's problematic. I think it's problematic. I call on the Wisconsin Republican legislature to pass the bipartisan bill. I believe that came out of the Senate or the House, one or the other. I think it came out of the Assembly. But he didn't do that. And in the same effort of trying to, you know, not cause any angst about the election, throws that crap out there, Mark.
Yeah, it's certainly just, yeah, he just calls in question the elections again, which the winners are, you know, that I'm surprised Trump hasn't just said, well, this proves that our elections work, and he hasn't said that. But to get into a different point that I got today, I just got my copy of The American Hunter, which is the alternative magazine from the NRA, and the advertising they have on the front of it, you know, the throwaway cover they have on the front of it is, buy one silencer, get one free. So I, you know, then this is for 22 rifles, and they have a quite little sharp retort. And if you're target shooting, you know, wear your hearing protection. But this whole putting silence out there on everything now, because they've been doing that for several years now, and
you can't shoot in the living room, man. If you don't have a silencer, it's too loud. Yes, there's a lot of, let's go, oh man, gun porn. I don't know. I mean, I got guns. I'm just not that into it, I guess. 855-752-4842. Let's squeeze in Joe from Mequon before Harvey K joins us at the bottom of the hour. Hey, Joe, happy days. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, basically, I'm listening to you talk about the Baldwin election, and yet you don't talk very much about the candidate that was fronted by Democratic offers as spoiler against their incumbent. Why don't you just be honest and run your candidate? Why do you have to be deceptive like that?
Well, and Joe, no, I get it, but let me push back on that a little bit. Specifically, he talked about the hardcore guy who said he was involved in trying to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Okay, he got like 29,000-30,000 votes, something like that. But my pal Phil Anderson from the Libertarian side, man, he got more votes than that. And neither of these folks had to run, and none of the voters had to vote for them. So, I mean, I get it. You okay. know, that happens. I was just saying this, though, Joe. That happens on the Republican side, and it happens on the Democratic side. And it's not the only time it's happened. It's going to continue to happen. I mean, I'm personally not a fan, but if people want to, you know, you want to go vote for the Libertarian guy, is that going to, if you get a mailer from somebody, that's going to change your mind, Joe?
Well, you're comparing apples to oranges on that. As a Libertarian, if he wants to run, fine. I'm talking about having Democratic operatives fund a candidate to run to take.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Well, how is
that's a very big difference.
A big difference how? Because why? I mean, the advertising wasn't in support of Phil Anderson, and the advertising wasn't in support for the other right winger, right?
That's not correct at all. I think if you want to run as an independent candidate, that's fine. But I don't think you take Democratic operatives with the stated intended purpose to try and take votes away from the Republican candidates while they're Democrats. These aren't independent.
But the candidate, Joe, was not a Democrat, and that's the big difference. I get what you're saying. I get it. I'm not a fan of it. But, hell, if I'm running and Republicans or Democrats or independents or Libertarians are giving me money, I'm taking it, Joe. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from UWGB, coming next.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. La Crosse will welcome its second candidate for mayor today. Local realtor Ellie McLoon is announcing her campaign to run for the office currently held by Mitch Reynolds, who has not yet announced whether he will run for re-election. McLoon said that she will work on policies that help attract young families and businesses to La Crosse, criticizing city leadership for, quote, allowing significant problems to linger and worsen. Community leader Shondell Washington Spivey announced he is running for mayor last month. Today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hold a hearing over whether Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf should be allowed to keep her job. Last year, Wisconsin Republicans in the state Senate voted to fire her, a move that was found to have no legal effect. A Dane County Circuit Court judge said that Wolf was legally serving her role as administrator since the Wisconsin Elections Commission didn't have a majority vote to appoint her. A ruling on the case won't happen for at least several weeks. School districts across the state are dealing with staffing shortages. With more on how that's being addressed here in Wisconsin, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
In response to a growing teacher shortage, Governor Tony Evers has added to a grant program. $1 million is going to nonprofits to boost the state's educational workforce. The funds will support local organizations in their efforts to identify, prepare, and certify new teachers for Wisconsin's classrooms. The move comes as the state deals with a surge in teacher turnover, mirroring a national trend.
As of this morning, on the Wisconsin Education Career Access Network, there are over 900 openings in the state for teaching positions. The CDC and World Health Organization are warning against spiking levels of measles worldwide as well as here in the U.S. The largely preventable and highly contagious disease has had 266 confirmed cases in the U.S. so far this year. Misinformation about vaccine safety led to declines in vaccination rates. In the U.S., vaccination rates fell to 92.7% for the 2023-24 school year among kindergartners. There's been one confirmed case of measles this year in Wisconsin. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Oscars have made their choice for an MC, and his name is Conan O'Brien. The gangly, awkward, but hilarious O'Brien follows Jimmy Kimmel, who hosted the event the last 2 years, and a total of four times. The Academy calls O'Brien the perfect choice to lead their global celebration of film. Oscars ratings have slowly been building again after a dip about 5 years ago. O'Brien released this statement. America demanded it, and now it's happening. Taco Bell's new cheesy chalupa supreme. In other news, I'm hosting the Oscars. It's official. Hollywood is officially out of original ideas. The show Friday Night Lights is getting a revisit, according to Variety. None of the original cast members are expected to return. The original show ran for five seasons from 2006 to 2011 on NBC. Before that, it was a movie that came out in 2004. The 2020s will be known as the age of the reboot and sequels. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with rain tonight and breezy. Temps rise slowly through the 50s. Morning highs in the mid-50s tomorrow as rain wraps up. Temps fall into the 40s in the afternoon and windy. Cloudy and blustery Thursday with flurries and snow showers. Temps only rise to 40. Right now it's 48.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runde. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You had to be a silly bird, a revelation of magic.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell to be joined by my friend Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, happy days. Welcome back, man.
Happy days. Listen to you.
Yeah, man, it's happy days. All right, Professor of Democracy, I wanted to throw something out there, and you had some. We're going to get into. We got to get you for a couple of segments. We're going to get into lots of topics today, but we just had a caller from the Mequon area, one of the Wow counties down here, Harvey, and he was lamenting, as was Eric Hovde, who finally conceded his Wisconsin senatorial race to Tammy Baldwin today. During his concession, and he has brought this up a few times, Hovde has, lamenting the fact that there's this, quote, phony America First candidate, Thomas Leager, L-E-A-G-E-R, former lobbyist for the Wisconsin Gun Owners, Inc., who was apparently funded or backed by some out-of-state Dems. And this guy got some votes, and Eric Hovde's mad that those probably should have gone to him. And of course, Phil Anderson, the libertarian, he got votes too. And there are apparently some advertising done in support of the libertarian candidate that maybe Phil was not aware of. But he got a bunch of votes. And if all those people would have voted for him, he'd have won. Harvey, I'm not a big fan of the playing the games thing like that. And as we were thinking through the break, it reminds me of the Kanye West when he ran in 2020. You know, he's a Trump buddy. He's trying to pull off African-American votes from Donald Trump. But I don't hear Joe from Mequon, you know, lamenting about that. So what's your sense on this kind of, you know, kind of fringe on the edges game playing with these elections?
Well, I don't actually know to what extent this what's the guy's name who was the third
party, Thomas Leager, L-E-A-G-E-R.
I don't know what deal he cut with billionaires or whoever else paid him to do that. But it's always striking to me that a guy like Hovde would be the first to bellyache and the first to complain and truly lament the state of American democracy. Okay. And yet, he'd probably vote against election law reform and control of monies. And Citizens United, he probably thinks was a great decision, if he knows what it's about. I mean, it's you know, crybaby at this moment. But let me say, I mean, there's a lot wrong with our election system, yeah, and our political system. That wasn't a defense of the system. It's just, look. How about this? How about Elon Musk offering to buy, to pay people to sign a petition? I mean, right, or something like that, okay?
Totally, I mean, fine. That seems totally legit, Harvey. That's how it should be done. No, so obviously, lots of problems. But and I get the deceit part if the guy
didn't.
But I will
say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, fortunately, whatever went wrong in this election, and we came out okay, sort of okay in Wisconsin, even though we lost at the presidential level. But it is the fact that it's interesting that Wisconsinites have it in themselves to vote more than by pulling a lever and having all one or the other. In other words, even though Trump won Wisconsin by not very much, it's the case that a lot of those people must also have voted in Democrats, is my sense. I don't have the full breakdown. And especially I like the fact that when folks who spend more of their time out of state and have accumulated vast sums of money decide they'll either come home to Wisconsin or I don't know, marry someone in Wisconsin for all I know, that and then declare for office, that Wisconsinites figure this is not acceptable. I mean, at least the majority, not acceptable. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad. I am so happy Hovde lost. That's all I can say. You know, I would listen to every time I listened to the guy, I thought, what has become of Wisconsin politics? And we even have to listen to this kind of thing. Now, admittedly, this was the state of Joe McCarthy, undeniably. Okay. But it's been a long time since Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, Joe McCarthy. Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, there, we got a lot of things that come out of the state here. Harvey
Look,
Kay.
In my opinion, I'd throw Scott Walker into the mix.
Yeah, but. I mean, let's keep going. 855-752-4842. Appreciate you entertaining my thoughts on that. Your comments. Yeah, I got a piece out when David Brooks goes Bernie bro. Now, this longtime conservative New York Times columnist is going Bernie bro. I mean, I Harvey, what's going on in this world, man? Tell me what you mean.
Okay, well, let's start off with this, just if I can recount what I know of David Brooks. Let me start off by saying something on here I don't think I've ever said, told publicly, other than to people who know me well. And that is that I didn't mention this last week in any way, did I? That David Brooks and I were for a while friends?
No.
Yeah, back in the late 90s, there was a fellow who was a senior editor, an editor at the Weekly Standard, mm-hmm. which was Bill Kristol's magazine, neoconservative magazine. Basically, it was owned by Rupert Murdoch and run by Bill Kristol. But there was a guy there who called me to ask me about something regarding a group of intellectuals in Britain, the British Marxist historians. And I had basically written the book on them. And oddly enough, this guy and I got along pretty well, the one who called me, in spite of his being a conservative. And this went on for some time. I would ask his opinion and stuff, and we would exchange these kinds of
things. Yeah, that's what it's all about, man.
And he said, hey, when you come to Washington, which I did every so often because I have family down there, not to mention my representatives are down there. He said, let me buy you brunch. So we went to this really nice brunch place in Georgetown. And he said to me, you know, next time you come, I want you to meet my friend David Brooks, who is another sort of editor and writer. I said, yeah, that'd be fun. Well, it wasn't as soon as I expected, but we went to lunch with David Brooks. And one of the first things I said to Brooks was, you know, I do follow the Weekly Standard. I think I was getting comped. The magazine was sending it to me free. Right. And I said, I have to say to you, the one thing I can't get over is you ask great questions when you write, but you always come up with the wrong answers. And he laughed and all that, but we kind of became friendly. And then before he left the Weekly Standard, he brought out a book which became New York Times number one bestseller, Bobos in Paradise, which was his amazingly entertaining book about the sort of young urban professionals and the monies they spend to set out their, you know, to adorn their homes, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't matter to go into detail. So just before the book came out, I said to David, hey, why don't you come? This was in the spring of 2000. Why don't you come to Green Bay? You can speak at the university and, you know, we have a chance to talk and all that. And by the way, I had EJ Dion and David Brooks back-to-back.
Yeah, nice. Back-to-back.
And they were buddies because they were both doing the National Public Radio commentary.
Okay.
So Brooks came. We had a really good time. But one of the things I said to him is, David, really, I love the questions you ask. And for example, back in the 90s, he asked about America's, the whole question of national greatness, because he was really worried that conservatives, Republican conservatives, and the ruling class of the day, he was very blunt in the language he used, was basically forgetting that America had a mission. And he was challenging them to behave like American elites are supposed to behave, people who believe in an American mission. It doesn't matter that David and I saw the mission as different, but the point was. And then I remember I wrote an article about that, and I said, in the end, I said, well, David, they answered your question, okay? This was eventually where this came up several years later. They eventually answered your question. Bush took us into Iraq. How's that for a mission?
Yeah, right.
It was that kind of thing. Then another thing that he asked, which, because he really always did ask good questions. Another one he asked is, what is America for? Which was kind of like, how come Americans have a need to understand what this country is about, and they should be able to embrace it and be proud of it and advance it and all of that. And I thought, this is really good. But the problem is that he always came up with a wrong answer. I mean, his answer had to do nothing with, you know, the fight for liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or all men are created equal. That it was a totally conservative kind
getting
of
getting paid, yo. That's what America's for.
Yeah, I guess. And then he came up with a series of pieces which we could summarize in terms of. Before I forget, the other thing was, I'll read people what I actually said about Brooks on that. What is America for? How could David Brooks possibly appreciate and write informatively of America's purpose and promise? The promise inscribed in our historical memory and imagination by Thomas Paine's Common Sense, Jefferson's Declaration, the Founders' Preamble to the Constitution, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, FDR's Four Freedoms, and King's I Have a Dream. How could he appreciate the promise that inspired not just a Revolutionary War, but also generations of Americans to struggle to expand the we and we the people and the democratic process through which we the people can genuinely govern? And then he got into the set of pieces, which basically asked, because now he was really getting worried. He was worried about Trump because he's a neoconservative. He became a never Trumper? Is okay. that what those guys
yep.
became?
Yep.
So he asked this series of questions. The question in a series of pieces: what are we supposed to do about Trump? Because he diagnosed that the problem in America was the class divide,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, and that to me, spoke directly to me and the stuff I'm interested in. But what he said is, we need to get out and meet each other. So he said, I'll commit myself to going out and discovering those other people, basically. And that one I answered in terms of, we don't need national therapy. We need we need radical action.
We might also need national therapy.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Radical? Talk to me about the radical.
So hold on. Well, here's the thing. So then the piece I wrote this past week was because within 24 hours after the election, the presidential election, he came out with a piece which basically said, voters to elites, do you see me now?
He was really emphasizing
the problem of class division in this country. But he went a step further in that piece. To make the long story short, he said, maybe Bernie Sanders was right.
Yeah.
He said, maybe we should do the kinds of things Bernie called for, even if it would make people like me feel uncomfortable. That's me, meaning David Brooks himself. So I said, whoa, this is it's like really major shift here. So I asked the question, when does David Brooks go Bernie, bro? What's going on here, right? And it's basically the case that I said, he's not a Bernie bro, okay? But you know what? In the world in which we are right now, it would be damn good to have David Brooks talk to the middle of the road Republicans and Democrats about the need for really progressive action. There you go.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, we just got about 90 seconds left in this segment. We're going to stick you around for another segment. Tom Hartman also had a piece out recently talking about class. I think if you look at the way the results came in of the election, it seemed to break down more on class. At least my impression is that it wasn't, you wouldn't think the Hispanic voter, the Black voter, however you want to break down those kind of groups. It wasn't that. It seemingly to me, it was more class. And I guess I'm curious to know, okay, if we recognize in this class, and when it comes out of class, I think it comes down to money. That's really what I think you're breaking people into different revenue, different earned income groups. How does that get addressed? And what is the gap? I mean, if you're talking about, $1 million plus versus $1 million a year plus versus someone who's living on, $20,000 a year, how do we get those groups and those folks to recognize and see things the same? Hell, even the what was the tax margin for Kamala Harris? She's not going to raise taxes for anybody over $400,000 a year. That's still a lot of money, man. There's folks that aren't making
for
that.
People under.
I'm sorry, under $400,000 a year. She'd raise them for people over.
Trump is going to. Trump will not raise taxes on anyone making more than $400,000.
Well, and the headline now that I'm seeing from the Washington Post: Republicans are looking at Medicaid and food stamps because you can't continue to cut the taxes and increase the debt. You got to do something on the expense side. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. More with Harvey K. and you as well. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out.
Just plead guilty, and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bell makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bell Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same.
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey J.K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. Sticking around for one more segment. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert and fan here, and I saw your tweet from yesterday. I hope I never again hear a Dem say I'm a capitalist. Rather, I look forward to hearing them say I'm an FDR Democrat. And like FDR in 1930, quote, there is no question in my mind that it is time for the country to become fairly radical for at least one generation, unquote. Harvey, how does that quote from FDR apply to today, and what does it mean to you?
Okay, well, first thing to do, let's not forget that FDR is running for president around 1930, he is running for president, 1932. And that remark is from 1930. So that was really a to him, he looked around at America in the middle of the Great Depression, and he was fully aware of what was going on in Europe with the rise of fascism. And he was convinced that based on the fact that history in the United States was the Revolution and the Civil War, if you're confronting a threat to the American promise, you have got to go radical. So in 1776, they declared independence, okay, and eventually set up the makings of a democratic republic. Lincoln, confronted by the secession of the South and basically what was going on in the military sector, you know, along the border between North and South, he basically said, we know what we have to do. This was a famous speech of his. Fellow Americans, we know what we have to do. The whole world knows what we must do. And basically what he does is he explains that that it was time to bring an end to slavery. And the Civil War, in some ways, was a second American Revolution in that respect. Well, FDR, thinking of the Depression and thinking of the threat of fascism, and there were fascist forces in the United States as well. In fact, the editors of Vanity Fair magazine actually said, maybe we could use a Mussolini to help lead us out of this Depression. The president of the American Political Science Association said, who knows what America will become? Maybe it'll become fascist. Maybe it'll become communist. So the point is, FDR figured if you're going to save democracy, you've got to make dramatic changes. And when he ran for president, he laid out, contrary to what many historians have said, he actually laid out a fairly radical agenda. It was going to include such things as Social Security. It was going to include initiatives at major public works projects to put people to work and to modernize the American public, you know, what do they call that, the superstructure of the United States, roads, bridges, tunnels. I mean, if you look across the United States, it's an amazing set of, it's an amazing legacy that he left us.
Absolutely. Anyhow,
so his point is you mobilize Americans. You put them to work. You engage them in the process of modernizing and transforming America, and you empower them, which is why he ends up signing into law first in 33 and then later, especially in 35, laws that would empower workers to organize. And they created the National Labor Relations Board to stand behind workers' efforts, not to mediate, but to stand behind workers' efforts. Then this is something people don't realize. In 1934, he actually did this a number of times through his 12 years as president. He decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. He called on Congress to cap wealth and incomes, at least in, you know, at that time. And you know, and
the way sounds like history's repeating itself, Harvey. Well,
the problem is that the Democrats have not done that. We thought they might do it in 2020 because Bernie and Biden kind of got it together and they set out an agenda together. But it is the case that Biden was stymied by people in his own party. And then he did do some change, make some changes, but not at all to the extent of a New Deal, but he had a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
So America, now, I don't think Americans voted to slash the budget by trillions of dollars. I don't think they voted to slash the taxes on the rich, which is, again, a likely possibility.
I mean, I hate to tell you, though, Harvey, I think Trump was talking about it, and maybe they did. Hey, let me squeeze in a caller here real quick before we run out of time. We got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, you're on with Harvey. I know you got something about the Economic Bill of Rights. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Harvey, as you know, I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I want to know when it is that we're going to get a candidate that is actually going to speak not in terms of first off, everyone needs to learn who FDR is, and shame on us for not knowing who he was. But second, we just need to have a candidate come out and say, I am going to fulfill the second Economic Bill of Rights of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's what we need.
Thank you, Tom. Harvey, do you have a candidate in mind, and do you think that's coming anytime soon?
Well, Bernie did do that, okay? And the shame is that Bernie didn't do what I said we needed a candidate to do, say, I am an FDR Democrat. He made it a point of saying, I'm a democratic socialist. Most Americans' heads turned if they even understood the term. So I think it's a possibility. I think there are folks on the horizon. There are political figures who I've spoken to. The problem is they have yet to fully come out in favor of an economic bill of rights. So hard for me to say, but I ain't stopping. I'm going to keep pushing.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. You can find him on Twitter at Harvey JK. That's K-A-Y-E. Harvey, thanks again for coming around. You are my favorite radical, my favorite Democratic socialist, my favorite FDR Democrat. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me. You bet.
My pleasure. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around. Our pal John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation, he's going to check in as well. Time that we kill keeps us alive. When we build these dreams on sand, how they all slip through our hands. And this might be our only chance. Let's take this one day at a time. I'll hold your hand if you hold mine. The time that we kill keeps us alive. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Earl Ingram.
Don's from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the civic media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.